Hello and welcome to the second episode of Point to Point for the year 2026. Here we are, way too late in the month of January. It is a continually snowing New England Wednesday. We have received around 2 feet of snow in the last couple of days, which is kind of ideal for me. I love the snow. I am a weird sicko who enjoys shoveling. If there was a power wash simulator, but for shoveling and snow blowing, I would probably be there day one. I am also still under the weather because that is how these things go. But I am excited to be here today. This is Point to Point, the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to a point. Lots of points today. We'll see which ones we gravitate towards. But I kind of wanted to start with a bit of a question. What is your snow day game? Or I guess, we had the kid home for Monday and Tuesday this week because of the excessive snow. And we spent that time mostly building Legos and playing in the snow. But I have fond childhood memories of being stuck at home when my parents were too busy at work. And it was just me and the babysitter, my PlayStation 2. So I've kind of been thinking, you know, what are some good snow day games that I remember being snowed in and playing a ton of? Honestly, the first one that comes to mind is not on the PlayStation 2, but it is The Elder Scrolls Oblivion. I've talked about that game on this show a couple of times, but I remember being snowed in our Wisconsin lifestyle back in the early, I guess early 2010s, and just playing the hell out of that game for hours when I had nothing else to do. Because I think maybe this is point number one. I've been hearing some friends mentioning that their kids are doing e-learning during snow days, and the COVID-19 pandemic took a lot of things from us. Taking away snow days, though, is such a rough long tail on what's going on there. I'm sure that there's a reason for it, but man, it feels like snow day is like a quintessential part of childhood, and having to watch all of the snow come down and have to sit in front of a laptop to be on a meeting, and also you're 10, really sucks, you know? Like, I have to sit on a meeting and watch all the snow, but I'm in my 30s, and I guess I need to pay my mortgage. But if you're 10, like, you should be out, you go, we'll play in the snow, make a snowball, you know, make a snowman, go roll a thing up, or make yourself a big old mug of hot chocolate and some Easy Mac because you're 10, and just curl up with your Game Boy and play Pokemon Gold. Or so, I mean, listen, this is a silver family here, unfortunately. Sorry, Ho-Oh. We stand Lugia in this household. But I just remember having so much fun on snow days, and it really bums me out that kids are, you know, having to do e-learning for this stuff. Bummer. Speaking of bummers, great transition. Highguard is out. I have no opinions on Highguard. The thing I have opinions on are people having opinions on Highguard. It's been kind of fun. It's been interesting watching the Highguard discourse come out. I feel like every quarter, every month, every Jeff Keighley event, there needs to be some sort of discourse about games or a game. And we all need to kind of like glom on to the entrenched camps of Highguard looks like trash and obviously will not be a good game. And also, you know, Highguard is fine. Why are you being such a jerk about this? And I have a lot of opinions about it, I guess. But the thing that I think is very frustrating to me, and I've kind of seen this happen a little bit back and forth now, but like when Silksong was announced 30 years ago or whatever, the general opinion was this was their game to lose. You know, like they made Hollow Knight. It was this perfect thing for a lot of people, and it was their game to lose. Like it was going to be amazing no matter what, unless it wasn't. And kind of the same thing with Hades 2, where, you know, Supergiant came out with this incredible game, blew everyone away, and now it was time for them to make the sequel, and it better be good, goddammit. And we kind of assume what the outcome of that game is going to be, like what the discourse is, how we're going to feel about it, you know, after a trailer, usually, and barely before it ever even hits early access, let alone comes out. And I think this is the thing that kind of bothers me about Highguard is there are so many video games coming out right now. Like every day there are over 100, perhaps hundreds of games coming out on Steam and hitting different marketplaces. And yes, some of them are hentai games, and that's fine for those people who like that, I guess. But the thing that is really bothering me about Highguard is this was a game that was just kind of one more thing into Jeff Keighley's The Game Awards. And since the moment that trailer hit, there has been like a sentiment about Highguard that it is, you know, doomed, that it is bad. Like, obviously, this is the poor game that no one's going to play. Everyone hates it. And as the reporting on Highguard has come out a little bit, it's come to light that I guess what happened was they had planned to shadow drop Highguard on launch day. That was, I think, the 26th. They had planned to shadow drop it. The trailer that they showed at the Game Awards is the trailer they were going to launch with, along with their 25-minute direct thing. And I guess because the people in charge of that game are prominent in the industry, Jeff Keighley found out about it. He's like, hey, this game looks cool. I want to highlight this. Give me that trailer. I'm going to throw it at the end of at the Game Awards and like give you guys a cool spot. Sounds like no money changed hands for that spot. Jeff Keighley just liked the damn video game. And like we could talk about how weird it is that Jeff Keighley was like, hey, my show is so big and important that I would like to have your trailer. And I guess I'm Jeff Keighley, so I could do that. I've seen some like interesting takes on that, specifically saying that it's highly unethical, which at first it sounds like a really cool thing of like, yeah, like Jeff Keighley wants our thing. So like, let's give him the thing that he wants, because this is like such a highly prominent place for my video game that it seems like really important to, you know, take this free advertising and, you know, let Jeffy have his deal. I think as I think about that a little bit more and say with it, like, yes, that is free marketing and that's cool, but like it's a little mob boss-ish, right? Like, hey, it would be a shame if your game didn't launch with a decent amount of people here. Which is interesting, because now we look at Highguard and that game has come out, people have been playing it, and it's mostly been a lot of that trailer sucked for being at the end of the Game Awards, which, agreed, makes sense, because turns out that's not what that trailer was for. And then the other sentiment is, hey, this seems like an interesting game, it's got some stuff going for it, which is great. Like, I think we're kind of all trapped in this, like, well, it needs to be the next Ark Raiders, it needs to be the next PUBG, it needs to be the next Fortnite. But like, I guess so long as it's not the next Concord, it's gonna be fine for those guys. I haven't seen like concurrent numbers, and honestly, I really don't care about going on SteamDB just for the funsies. But the thing that kind of strikes me about it is the discourse of it all. Like, I just find it really irritating that, you know, we have to like litigate these video games before they even come out, when like I guess we do that for movies and we do that a little bit for books and stuff, but like why? Like, so much of video games is interactive. Like, you can watch a trailer for a movie and say, I don't really like X, Y, and Z thing about that movie. And yes, dissecting the trailer is not the same as dissecting the media, but the inherent experience of watching trailer and also watching movie is similar. Like, you can kind of A to B to see that. But with games, it's so interactive. Like, it's so much more about, like, sure, like, you don't like the aesthetic, whatever. You don't like the weird medieval man. Surprise, there's guns in this game, a thing I forgot about. You don't like that stuff. Whatever, that's cool. But, like, the feel of how that game works and, like, how the guns control, how the movement works, what the objectives are, what the different tools and verbs you have available to you changes kind of everything about that game. Like, and it just feels odd to me that we've just decided that, you know, as a group, there are just a group of human beings out there who saw that trailer and said, this looks like trash, I must have an opinion on this, and this game will die just like Concord died. And it doesn't seem like it is. You know, I mean, like, it's still out there. Technically, we still have, like, 3 more days to find out if they kill it like they did Concord. I think the incentives for indie game Highguard and owned by PlayStation Studios Concord are very different. So I suspect that Highguard is going to stick around. But it just kind of bums me out, you know? Like, there are so many games out there. There's so much hard work that people are putting into things. And there is a large group of the online populace that would rather spend time just, like, preemptively hating stuff for the likes and the views and the interactions than, like, engaging with the media when it comes out and, like, having an informed opinion. And, you know, I think that it's easy to, like, very quickly hop on that stuff. Like, I've talked about this on the show before, brought up Silksong earlier. I saw Silksong and said immediately, that's not a game for me. And I think that's very different than me looking at Silksong and saying, well, that's a bad game. Because I think it's interesting to look at these things as, like, pieces of art that different groups of people engage with. And, like, it seems very silly to say into a microphone, it's not, everything's not gonna be for you. Sorry, you know, like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to like Highguard. Again, I will probably not be engaging with Highguard. Not my kind of game. But, like, that doesn't make it doomed. And I think that there's this idea of like, the video game monoculture that, you know, we like to talk about how, like, this is a very varied art form and there are a lot of different experiences you can have. But for the most part, you look at those top charts on, you know, the top Circana charts, of, you know, the same 7 games being the top games year over year over year. And we like to assume that you can only have success if you unseat one of those games. And we like to assume that those people who play those games are the only people playing games. And that's just factually incorrect. Like, Highguard can come out and be quote-unquote successful, and you can take no players away from Call of Duty or Fortnite. Like, that's just how games work. And because they are an independent studio, I think, pretty sure they are, their incentives are much smaller and different than other games. And I think that's the thing that we kind of lose in all of this, is this idea that there needs to be this monoculture, that we, like, a game like Highguard fails because it has a bad trailer. And, like, there are plenty of games out there that did not get good marketing. And there are plenty of games out there that deserved very good marketing and just went nowhere. You know, there's a lot of stuff that delivers and just poof into the air. But I think that looking at Highguard just based on that one trailer and then declaring it dead is just foolish. I think that it's, like, it's bringing down the enjoyment of games and turning it into, like, a snap reaction thing that doesn't really help anyone. Like, it doesn't make this a kinder, more interesting place to play games. It doesn't help you find friends to play these games with. It just, I don't know, it just sucks. So, yeah, speaking of bummers, I guess, that was my train. If you heard those ding dings, it is time to board the train for the first time in the month of January. We got in right under the clock there, the 28th, and finally on the choo-choo train. We'll see how long this train takes me, because I'm seeing lots of snow on these tracks still. So we're probably going to clip around at a good old 2 miles an hour, which is fine, because I got a Steam Deck. And I think next episode we will be talking a bit about the games I'm playing on the deck, and how January is kind of my favorite month for playing games, because holy shit, I've been playing a lot of video games, and not a single one of them came out this month. So stay tuned for that. We'll check in next time. I have to remember how to outro this show, because it has been weeks. But yeah, go check out 70% Complete. We'll be having some new content published on there. I've got some blogs in the works. Holy shit, the Avowed video. Next week, that sucker is going to be done. Will it be published? Bigger question. But it will be done next week. So stay tuned for that. It is looking to be an hour and a half long on Avowed, surrealism, art, and highly relevant stuff related to current events about, denying empire and the imperialism of the mind. So that's feel good, I guess. All right, I'll catch you next episode. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good rest of your day. We'll see you.